time to get started. Good morning, everybody. And we are here for our weekly gathering. I am Lynn Johnson, otherwise known as Sweet Dreams, which are made of these. And I am your minister for the day. So welcome, everyone. At this time, or X-Lynn Johnson, yes. X-Lynn if you go on Facebook. So as I see that people are coming into the room and we are beginning to gather for the gathering, I'm going to play a song. And I would like for, thank you, Paul, X is for excellent. I would like for everyone to greet each other and tell us a little bit maybe where you're at. And usually we say what the weather's like. I'm not sure why that is other than to just to have something to join with. So right now I'm going to put on a little song and everyone greet each other. Good morning to you all. I love you.
Do you know what?
Help me. All right. So I'm not sure how that happens, but this this thing will. I got the new Windows 8. So good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And I hope you enjoyed that song. It's one of my very favorite of all time. I love Elton John, and it's such a. It's called Love Song, and it's such a gorgeous song because. It really is all about love is the opening door, and love is what we came here for. No one could offer you more. there we go. So welcome, welcome. So the next item on our agenda for our gathering is to talk about our purpose. And what I wanted to talk about in our purpose is the paths of awakening. I think a lot of people come into this room, and I know that they do. Yeah, that was Elton John. People come into this room, and a lot of the folks that have been here traditionally have been students of A Course in Miracles. And so we talk about A Course in Miracles. We read A Course in Miracles. We do the lessons from A Course in Miracles. And we also do the text of NTI. We read and we talk about NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. We do that. And so a lot of people come in the room and they think, well, this is all about A Course in Miracles and NTI. But the truth is organization is for all paths that are non-dual. So I was just going to read a section that's in our purpose and values that's called Paths of Awakening. And this will kind of give you an idea of some other things and other teachings that may be appropriate and useful to talk about in this room. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. In our study of Scripture and Masters, we contemplate that which is the same and respect that which appears different. Some of the spiritual works and masters that may be studied by our ministers, members, and friends include, but are not limited to, the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, Gautama Buddha, Rumi, Kabbalah, Christian mystics, A Course in Miracles, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, Peace Pilgrim, Jiddu Krishnamurti, H.W.L. Punja, Adi Ashanti, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and more. And I know that there are many, many people. I know one of the main things I like to listen to, Alan Watts, who talks about Zen. There are many teachers, Rupert Spira, Alan Halageva. You'll hear me playing those a lot. Timothy Conway, who is going to be speaking at our retreat in Santa Barbara, Magdi MB, if you are friends of his on Facebook, he will also be at our retreat in Santa Barbara. We study and listen to many, many, many teachers. But although teachers and scripture are helpful as we awaken to universal truth, absolute clarity always arises within one's self. For that reason, we encourage the unique expression of wisdom as it comes through our ministers, members, and friends. Everyone has the opportunity to express wisdom in our online sanctuary, which is where we are right now. Everyone who comes into this room has the opportunity to share and express wisdom here. And, in fact, we encourage it. We ask people, even if you're new in the room, hey, would you like to pick up the mic and share what you know? Because salvation is a collaborative venture. We are all here together to join for the salvation of the world. And as Dove says, we encourage it. We ask people, please, let us know what you are thinking of. Even if you think you don't know anything, and there's lots of people who come in this room that say, I don't know anything, and we say, good, please pick up the mic. Because if you don't know anything, then the only thing that you can know is what Spirit gives you. And so we do encourage it. And, of course, because I'm the I'm the online sanctuary director, it's really important to me to give everyone an opportunity to pick up the mic and share. So we have that. Members also have the opportunity to express wisdom through member blogs. We celebrate each person's expression of wisdom just as we honor wisdom expressed through renowned masters and scripture. There is only one source of universal wisdom. Whenever anyone writes, speaks, or acts from universal wisdom, that one abides as our true self. And that is absolutely the truth. And so this is why, you know, I'm so Dove, throughout the years of running the room as A Course in Miracles Gather, he expected and asked people to share from the first moment they came into the room, if they express any kind of desire to learn. And to teach is to learn. And so here we have an opportunity, all of us, to join together to teach and to learn. So so here we go. And thank you all for joining with me in our learning. So I would like to now make some announcements. And we have a few. One of them I already mentioned earlier this during this first part of the talk was that we are having an event in Santa Barbara. Actually, we're having two events in Santa Barbara, one after the other. So the first event is a satsang retreat, and Barb will put up the link for the satsang retreat, which is September 12th through the 14th of 2014, and that is coming up in about a month and a half. And I believe the last day to register is August 20th. We have to have our numbers to the facility by August 21st. And so we are kind of on a timetable. If you're thinking about coming to this event, please, please, please get on it and register so that we can make sure that you can get in. So we have the satsang retreat, and then right after that, starting on September 15th, we have the Soak in the Beauty retreat, also at the Old Mission in Santa Barbara, which is where the satsang retreat is going to be. And the Soak in the Beauty retreat is the 14th through the 18th, and that is going to be where you'll have a lot more personal time to join together, to join Regina Dawn Akers and Nikki Dobson are going to be the retreat leaders, I believe. At the retreats, as I mentioned earlier, we will have Timothy Conway, who is as brilliant of a light as you can find in this world, Magdi M.B., who is equally brilliant, and Kirtana, who will be our musical guest or musical teacher. And Kirtana is also an awakened, beautiful light. And I will be playing some of her music later on in the social gathering hour that we have after our gathering this morning. So those two events are hot on the topic if we get those, if you want to go to one of those events, please go to the link and sign up. Like I said, August 20th, I believe, is our deadline. So the other things that we have that are coming up are some classes that are going to be, they're part of the ministerial program, but you don't have to be a member of the ministerial program in order to take the class. So the classes that we are offering are the Tao Te Ching, which you have to register before August 7th. So that's coming up in just a few days. So if you'd like to take the class of the Tao Te Ching, please do that. Okay, and Barb is saying the final payment for both events are due no later than August 15th. August 15th, okay, good. Thank you for correcting that for me. August 15th is the day for the Satsang and the Soak in the Beauty retreats. So if you want to take the Tao Te Ching class, that will you have to sign up before August 7th. Then we have another class coming up called The Core Message of A Course in Miracles. And I believe that that's a class that our own Dove, David Fishman, is going to be teaching. And it's two classes. And I think, are they two-hour classes? In those classes, Dove will help you to know everything you need to know about A Course in Miracles. Dove himself says that he studied the course for 27 years or some ungodly long time before he actually got to what the real gist of it is. And so I think he's highly qualified to teach this class, The Core Message of A Course in Miracles. And you need to sign up for that before the September 8th. And, yeah, Dove says it radically reduced the learning curve. And exactly, and that's what we want to do, is let's make that learning curve, like, you know, perfectly vertical, straight up, no curve. And then another class that's coming up is Introduction to the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI. And you have to sign up for that on the website before October 24th. So those are the upcoming classes. And please check out, if you want to take Dove's class, please do, Christina. I think you will really benefit from it. And I just know from, I've been listening to Dove for a little over 5 years, and I think he radically changed my viewpoint about everything. So that looks like a great class. And the NTI class, if you're familiar with NTI, it's wonderful. If you're not familiar with NTI, it's wonderful. Please consider taking the class and reading NTI. It's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right. So those are my announcements. True Discernment, I don't think we have a new True Discernment scheduled yet, but I may be completely wrong. If I find out I am, yeah, not scheduled yet, that's what I thought. So, but it's coming along. The True Discernment is coming along, and that's a really, really good class as well. I can vouch for that myself. Okay, so let me look here. And, okay, we did the announcements. I'm going to do, the invocation is a prayer. It is a song. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this prayer and this song. Is that this is what really started me, although I had been on a spiritual quest for my entire life. I had been searching for God for my entire life, and I had just kind of given up, and I was working and having a professional career and believing that I was trying to be on top of the world, believing that somehow or the other I had gained some control over my life in the world. And then in 1993, everything fell apart. And things just started going wrong in my life. I started having fears and problems. And, you know, my house, I almost lost my job. I was laid off. I had to take a huge cut in pay. I had problems, financial problems. My mother was really sick. My sister committed suicide. All kinds of things happened, you know, just you name it. Things falling apart in your life, things fell apart. And one night I was grocery shopping in Albertsons, and you know how in the grocery stores they will have some kind of canned music playing. And I was in the grocery store shopping, and I heard this song. And this song became my prayer, my invocation, and basically, it started me on my path. It started me just saying, I heard this song, and I left my groceries and went out and sat in my car and cried and prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, asked God, asked whomever to help me. And guess what? I had an answer. So I'm going to switch over to the other computer and play this song. And then after the song, I'm going to turn the mic over to David Fishman, and he is going to do our inspirational reading for the day. So here we go. Trying to make a seamless transition, but of course... Dove Fishman, the mic is all yours.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much, Lennon. Thank you for all your kind words. And I want to say that you have been truly superlative in taking the baton that I passed on. And you have really brought so much warmth and cohesiveness to this room. There's no wonder that the attendance has literally doubled daily. Thank you so much, Lynn Johnson. Lynn has asked me to read from text chapter 22, section 2, your brother's sinlessness, which I happened to just post this earlier, paragraph 4. I think it tells you a lot. Reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery is to recognize it and go the other way. And Jesus puts "and go the other way" in italics. Lynn asked me to start with paragraph 6 and go to the end of this section. Okay. This is a crucial period in this course, for here is the separation of you and the ego must be made complete. This is where you make the separation between you and the ego complete. For if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. And through their use will you gain faith in them. Yet to the ego, this must be impossible, and no one undertakes to do what holds no hope of ever being done. You know what your Creator wills is possible, but what you made believes it is not so. Now must you choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself. Not both, but one. There's no point in trying to avoid this one decision. It must be made. Faith and belief can fall to either side, but reason tells you misery lies only on one side and joy upon the other. Forsake not now your brother. Forsake not now your brother, for you who are the same will not decide alone nor differently. Either you give each other life or death. Either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering him sanctuary or condemnation. This course will be believed entirely or not at all. For it is wholly true or wholly false, and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Reason will tell you that there is no middle ground where you can pause uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell. Until you choose heaven, you are in hell and misery. There's no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions, nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with. A savior cannot be a judge, nor mercy condemnation. And vision cannot damn, but only bless. Whose function is to save will save. Whose function is to save will save. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your choice. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your choice. For time you made and time you can command, you are no more a slave to time than to the world you made. Exactly as Ken Wapnick says, what a joke to think that time can come to circumvent eternity. That's what Jesus also says in the Course. Let us look closer at the whole illusion that what you made has power to enslave its maker. This is the same belief that caused the separation. It's the meaningless idea that thoughts can leave the thinker's mind, be different from it, and in opposition to it. If this were true, thoughts would not be the mind's extensions, but its enemies. And here we see again another form of the same fundamental illusion that we have seen many times before. Only if it were possible the Son of God could leave his Father's mind, make himself different, and oppose his will, would it be possible that the self he made and all it made should be the master. behold this great projection, but look on it with the decision that it must be healed and not with fear. Nothing you made has any power over you unless you still will be apart from your Creator and with a will opposed to His. For only if you would believe His Son could be His enemy does it seem possible that what you made is yours. You would condemn His joy to misery and make Him different, and all the misery you made has been your own. Are you not glad to learn it is not true? Is it not welcome news to hear not one of the illusions that you made replace the truth? Only your thoughts have been impossible. Salvation cannot be. It is impossible to look upon your Savior as your enemy and recognize Him. Yet it is possible to recognize Him for what He is if God would have it so. What God has given to your holy relationship is there. For what He gave the Holy Spirit to give to you, He gave. Would you not look upon the Savior that has been given you? And would you not exchange in gratitude the function of an executioner that you gave Him for the one He has in truth? Receive of Him what God has given Him for you, and not what you try to give yourself. Beyond the body that you interpose between you and your brother, and shining in the golden light that reaches it from the bright, endless circle that extends forever, is your holy relationship, beloved of God Himself. How still it rests, in time and yet beyond, immortal yet on earth. How great the power that lies in it. Time waits upon its will, and earth will be as it would have it be. Here is no separate will, nor the desire that anything be separate. Its will has no exceptions, and what it wills is true. Every illusion brought to its forgiveness is gently overlooked and disappears, for at its center, Christ has been reborn to light His home with vision that overlooks the world. Would you not have this holy home be yours as well? No misery is here, but only joy. Final paragraph. All you need do is dwell in quiet here with Christ, to share His vision. Quickly and gladly is His vision given anyone who is but willing to see his brother sinless. And no one can remain beyond this willingness if you would be released entirely from all effects of sin. Would you have partial forgiveness for yourself? Can you reach heaven while a single sin still tempts you to remain in misery? Heaven is the home of perfect purity, and God created it for you. Look on your holy brother, sinless as yourself, and let him lead you there. Thank you so much, Lynn, for asking me to read this for all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dub, for that beautiful reading. I know probably when I signed the reading, and I know you probably looked and said, wow, that's a lot of stuff to read, and not saying that it was a lot of stuff to read, but what is the point? This is from chapter 22, section 2, and he read paragraphs 6 to the end. It really is a kind of a mini course right there that basically, it doesn't say, you know, why is it that I want to do this? It says that I do want to do this. Everybody wants to do this. It doesn't matter who or what you think your brother is or who or what you think your brother has done. The time is now. And I like the way in that very first paragraph that Dove read, how Jesus says to us, this is critical. You think you want peace. You think you want joy. You think you want salvation. You think you want all these things, but the only way you're going to get it is to separate yourself from your ego. Not that it's me who's separating myself from my ego, but this is critical. It's crucial in this period, in this course, to separate myself from the ego. And the only way that I can do that is by recognizing my brother as myself, recognizing my brother as the sinless being that he is, she is. And not just that my brother is sinless, but my brother is as God created me. My brother and I are the same. And so if we are sinless, if my brother is sinless, then I am able now to develop what Jesus calls Christ's vision or the Savior's vision. And I wanted to read another part of the course that I've quoted many, many, many times and talked about so many times that you're probably sick of hearing it. But it's in chapter 31. It's section 7. And it's called the Savior's vision. And the Savior's vision, he says, let me find this here, because if you could just see one brother as wholly worthy of forgiveness, one brother as wholly worthy of forgiveness, then your entire vision would change. And what would happen is that you will begin to see yourself and all brothers as sinless. You begin to see yourself and all brothers as pure, as innocent. And so what is stopping this from happening? this is kind of a facetious question, right? Because we all know what's stopping this from happening. What's stopping this from happening is my decision to judge my brother. It's what's stopping this from happening is seeing my brother as being something, someone separate from me. And because this is a very important concept that's in the course, what I see in my brother or what I see in the world is a projection of my own thoughts. Jesus tells us that we make an ego for ourselves and we make an ego for our brother. So when I look at my brother and say, wow, you have a big ego. Your big ego is preventing me from loving you. The actions that you're doing with your ego that is so big and unfortunate is stopping me from loving you. Hi, baby. It's in my little grandson coming in here. Yes, it begins and ends in me. Exactly, Deb. I see my little brother, my little grandson coming in here and saying hello. Hello. Hello, my love. I'll come and visit you guys in a little while. Love you. It is, there is no chaos in the mind of God. And so, yeah, he does, he wants, well, he's, I'm telling you what, there's one too. I try to look at him and see him as sinless, see him as innocent. And it should be very, very simple, except when he gets mad about you took his bottle away from him because it was empty. And you wanted to refill it. And he hollers. And you look at him and think, why do you have to yell? And there is a judgment right there. You know, I'm looking at this baby and I'm judging his behavior because I'm not seeing him as being the same as me. I'm seeing his interest as being separate from mine. My interest is to not hear crying. And his interest is to have his bottle. And those two things can't come together in the world where I perceive him as being something other and different than myself. But if I see his crying because he needs his bottle or he wants his bottle as being a projection of my own belief that I am incomplete unless I have my bottle, or whatever it is I think I need, then that is my own projection. Yes, lacking, exactly. It's a projection of my own belief in lack. It's so simple when you start looking at the world that you see, and instead of judging it, you look at it and you look for, what is this telling me about my own mind? And as I look and I see what it's telling me about my own mind, then I'm able to stop judging my brother as being the culprit and start seeing my own part in making this happen. Yes, lacking accompanied by the demand for fulfillment. And so this is looking at all of my brothers and everybody that I look upon and imagine is somehow different than me, I see as being in competition with my own desire to be safe, to be free, to be whatever it is that I'm imagining I'm going to get from having my bottle, you know. But that's not going to bring me safety. It's not going to give me what I'm perceiving I'm lacking. And so what is it? What is it? What is it? And I said my message today is about love. And I'm looking at the teachings of Jesus from the Bible. Jesus, during his time, spoke about this. This was the major focus of his entire ministry. And yet, so many people have come up with an idea that there was another focus to Jesus' ministry. But here's what Jesus says. This isn't going to help. I was going to give you somebody's phone number here. Let me see if I can copy this and paste it. I might not be able to do that from here, but we'll see. But I will read it to you. This is, all right, let's see, copy. I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'm going to try. I'm playing with technology today, so, because I'm talking into a computer that is, no, it's not. It's not letting me copy from one computer and paste it into this one. So, I don't know. And I'm on remote to the radio. Hey, Alex, good to see you. So I'll just read this to you, what Jesus said, because I do have in my other buffer, on my other computer, what else I wanted to read to you. Jesus said, then this was the major teaching of Jesus, the Christ. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then later on in Matthew he says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In John he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. In Romans, I believe this is Paul, who says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Also in Romans, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. In Romans, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But here is something from 1 John. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. The true light is already shining. It's never been put out. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. And of course, to me, I am seeing it as not just a commandment, but it is wisdom that is here for forever. It's the wisdom that actually makes it possible for me to join with my brother without having judgments of my brother, or imagining that somehow or the other your interests and mine are different. They are not. Your interests and mine are the same and have always been. There's not been a moment. I was listening to Dove reading from that reading about this course is to be believed 100% the whole way, which means that I 100% the whole way do what it is that Jesus is telling me to do. And so if I don't believe this entirely, if I believe it even partially, or I say I'm going to love the neighbors that are good to me, I'm going to love the neighbors that I like, I'm going to love the neighbors that agree with my political beliefs, I'm going to love the neighbors that are helping me to clean up the beach or save the whale, I'm going to love the neighbors that are being the way that I am, but I'm not going to love the neighbors who are throwing trash on the beach. I'm going to curse the neighbors that are dressing the way I don't like them to dress, or acting the way I don't like them to act. You are, exactly, Paul, you are the chooser, one way or the other. You choose. I choose. And this is crucial at this time. It is crucial at this time in this course that I get this, that you get this, that we all get this, and that we not only try, but do. Jesus says, if one brother would appear to you as being wholly worthy of forgiveness. He doesn't even say if you completely forgive your brother. He doesn't say if you completely see your brother sinless. He says if one brother should appear to you as being wholly worthy of forgiveness, then it changes your entire belief about yourself. It changes your entire understanding of what you are. That diamond gem that I am, that I have always been, it shines. I see it. I know it. I know it in myself. I feel it in myself. I'm not hoping that I'm good. I'm not hoping that I'm loved. I know that I am loved. And why? Because I have loved. I have forgiven. And giving and receiving are the same thing. To have, give all to all. That's what Jesus is saying. Everything. 100% all. And there's so many times that he says this. Whole, holy. What does it mean, being whole and not being broken? And I totally know it in you. When I totally know it in you, I cannot help but know it in me. If I can even look at one of you and decide, yes, they are not the mask that I made. They are not the ego that I invented. They are not the being that I think they are. They are the Holy Son of God. I don't have to pretend you're the Holy Son of God. I can see that is what you are when I remove the crap. When I take off the false face and I look at you for what you really are. But that takes the work of looking at my mind, looking at my thoughts. And as Jesus told us in the lesson today, when you have a thought that's anything else, any other thought, anything else other than what it is that you know that God would have you think. And how many of you, including myself, don't know what God would have you think? Don't know that when you're thinking the thought that includes condemnation of your brother, you know when you look at that is not a thought that God would have you think, and you feel guilty. You feel guilty, and that guilt is what is tearing us apart. And so I'm going to say, like Bob Newhart, stop it. Just stop it. It's not necessary. Today's lesson, love is the way I walk in gratitude. Whenever I have a thought that's not working for me, all I have to say is, love is the way I walk in gratitude. The Holy Spirit is my only guide. He walks with me in love, and I give thanks to Him for showing me the way to go. What a relief that is, and what a wonderful thing that is. And that is available to everyone. That is available to you and me all the time, 100% of the time. God does not give us 99.99999%. God gives us 100%. He gave us 100% when He made us, and that is all He's going to accept. And Deb says, you are the work of God, and His work is wholly lovable and wholly loving. This is how a man must think of himself in his heart, because this is what he is. Miracle principle number 27. Yes, to have all, give all to all. Why in the heck do you think Jesus says this stuff to us over and over and over? Not so that you can read it and then you can say, yeah, but you know what? You know, this person is really not as good, you know, or this person is better than me because she wrote a book, or this person is, you know, we're making all these judgments based on our belief in difference, and you cannot make a single exception. You can't, exactly, Kathy, you cannot make a single exception. And Jay is saying, first comes the self-judgment, then the guilt, then the denial, then the projection, and suddenly other people are doing all kinds of wrong things. Exactly. Acceptance brings healing. Acceptance, refusal to judge. You must refuse to judge. And I'm telling you what, that is... that is your choice. It is my choice. That's it. I said earlier when Kathy was reading about the buttons, you don't push my button. Nobody pushes my button. That loudmouth politician over there who's saying things I don't like, he's not pushing my button. He's just over there saying words. I'm the one who's pushing my button. I'm the one who's deciding to judge. I'm the one who's deciding actively that I'm going to be unhappy about what I'm seeing or hearing. And whenever you're not wholly joyous, it's because you have acted with a lack of love to one of God's creations. And that very well could be my own self. But reacting with a lack of love is what is pushing my buttons. And it is making me make myself unhappy. And all God wants for me is perfect happiness. That's His will. And yes, it's your happiness button. Exactly. Excellent, Lynn Johnson. I love that, Jay. A refusal to judge is total acceptance. Yes. And in this world of opposites, your buttons get pushed daily, Dove says. And who's pushing those buttons? Nobody else. Nobody else is going to make me upset. Nobody else is going to make me sad. Nobody else is going to make me mad. I'm the only one who can make me anything. And that is a joy. That is what I'm so grateful for. I'm so grateful to know that I'm the only one who can push my button. I saw actually something on Facebook, and it was kind of cute. It was a box that has a switch on it, and you push the switch, a little mechanism comes, opens up the box, top of the box, and a mechanism comes up and pushes the switch back, and then goes back down. So every time you push the button, it pushes the button back. And, yeah, Lenny Rose did that for 10 years here, exactly. And that's what it is. You solder your switch into open and happy, Paul says, and that's it. I don't have to even have a dang button. I don't have to have a button. I can completely negate that button. And yes, Susie, knowing that I'm the one who's responsible for my buttons, that is freedom. But the only way that I'm going to know that is by looking at you and knowing that you are not the one who could push my button. You are not the one who can make me do anything. And so there is no reason for me not to love you. There is no reason for me to judge you. There is no reason for me to be afraid of you, because you can do nothing to me. There's nothing that can harm me. The only thing that can do anything is my own mind can upset me and push a button. Yeah, forgiveness flattens all buttons. Just get out of the grinder. Grind them down, and then we don't have buttons anymore. So that's my message for today. You know, love your brother. Look at your brother and give up whatever you're holding against him. Know that there is nothing. Your brother has done nothing to you. Your brother has never hurt you. As much as you would want to think that he has, your brother cannot hurt you. Yes, Nook Sanchez gave a useful prayer. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using you to attack myself and keep me from God's love. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yep, and Lenny is always saying that to me too. Deny this world. And he's always saying to me, are you listening to me? God bless you, Lenny Rose. All right, so now is the time when we do a little bit of contemplation. I'm going to play a song, and this is a time in the normal church, where they would pass the plate around for donations, and Barb, our admin, will put up the donate button. And thank you all so much. After the music, then we'll open up the room for any comments from anybody here. So yeah, in a physical church, yes, that's it. All right, so I'm switching over, and we will hear some music.
Hi, Len. There's no sound on the music.
Love is real.
I don't know why it's doing this, but we'll try it one more time. I don't know what's happening. I'll just sing to you.
Love is real, is love. Love is feeling. Feeling love.
To be love.
Love is wanting.
Love is you.
To be love.
Thank you guys so much for your patience. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. yeah, isn't that funny? John Lennon, Lynn Johnson. I'm always ready to sing, but I just remembered I didn't know the words to that song. But it all worked out, didn't it? Perfect, perfect, perfect. I love it. So right now is the time when you're welcome to raise your hand, and I will give you the mic, and I'd love to hear you share. Technology is funny. You might curse it, and you might say, oh, well, bad things are happening because I can't play my song. But really, honestly, it is happy unplanned, and that's it. You don't plan. You know, I plan to play that song. But the Holy Spirit had a different plan. So, perfect. So would anyone like to share anything about today's message or what you hope will be happening in your own mind after this today? I will just wait for someone to put their hand up. All right, you guys are just so stunned by my brilliant singing that you can't think of anything, or there's nothing else to say. And Deb says, all I want to say, Lenny, is you sure have a big heart for a former killer. I love and appreciate you so much, too, Deb Gary. And I'm still a killer. There's still times in my mind that, boy, the world would be a better place if so-and-so wasn't around. But that's brief. And really, it is a better place if that ego is no longer clouding my vision of my friend. It's true. Oh, Sharon, you have your hand up. Let me give you the mic.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Dove and Lynn and all. It's amazing to me how I'm finally, hi, Barb. It's amazing to me how, you know, I did the course for a while and how it's deepening into doing NTI. You know, I read a lot of different spiritual material. They're all the same to me. For me, it wasn't like just do the course. You know, the course is enough to do, but I enjoy the smorgasbord. And what's happening is, for me, is that I'm finally in the heart, and I'm just getting this because I'm truly honest in this process, that there's not a feeling that I have that is about another person. Now, it's funny. It's like I had amnesia. I blocked that out because I would say, well, the world's not real, or I would say, you know, and denial, true denial, is really when you know that it's all coming from you, that you're living your thoughts. So I get this, like, this, and then I do get my charges or my obstacles, they come up to be examined, you know, and that it's really, like, the resistance I have to actually say this is all me. Because it's like, no, the ego, I have an attachment to, as I always say, to being a mother. But my children, I can't feel their feeling. And that has given me such relief just in this moment right now. That's all I have. I don't know the other layers that are going to come up. But I do know that when I was a little girl, I thought, I can tell how other people feel. Look, my father looks sad. Look, my grandmother, she's walking with all those packages and she's sweating. And I feel the sadness for her. And then I'd be looking at my nephew and thinking, I know he's having a difficult time because my sister's in depression. And that was just all me. See, that's the gift. When I feel like I'm going to get hysterical crying about anything, and, you know, in this case right now, it could be my child, I am not feeling his pain. And I am so grateful for Gather, for Awakening Together, for the progression of all this, because we have some order in the room, and there was nothing wrong with the room before except that the world is already disordered. We've been brought into a world that is completely disordered. So the idea of awakening together is so perfect for us to see that we are truly vigilant for being, you know, as God created us, which is good orderly conduct. It's not being a better person, and I love Regina's teaching. And this is just a process. We're not to look at us as a process rather than a person. And this is not, you know, I'm learning a lot, you know, rolling back and forth. I don't know. I just know that just knowing now that I own every feeling, I cannot feel my husband. Sometimes I think he's mad at me. That's just something coming up in me. Unless he tells me. You know, I mean, unless he tells me. Because it can't be about him. So I just want to thank you, because I listened to Dove for years, and little things would trickle down into me, because he's a great teacher. I have many teachers on this path that have come through my mind. Now I really am starting to say, yes, this is all you. And how much freedom is that? It is possible to freak out from not knowing the answers. You know, I want to just say I have a student that's 11 years old that I teach art to. And he said he doesn't talk to people about religions. So I said, Devin, why is that? And he said, well, everybody has a different story, and I think they're just trying to make themselves feel better. I went, oh my God, out of the mouth of a baby, 11 years old, he's telling me something that I'm just realizing. You know, I mean, this time I have with this young man is just like incredibly, incredibly enlightening. Yes, all laughter. And you know, I've had laughter, and I don't even, you know, through the process, because we all know, deep inside, that the obstacles, there's obstacles, you know? But the human being in me is going to always have thoughts. It's just getting rid of the charges. So I'm vigilant to go through every possible thing I can, because I like to say that I have a lot of humility. I really need all of you to learn. Yeah, I mean, and therefore, well, you know, I love you guys, and I'm going to drop the mic and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now I have all these like things to like take, all these courses, you know, and I'm like excited, and my husband's like, well, how many are you going to take? So I'm saying, well, you know, he reads the Tao, and I said, you know, you might want to look at that one. But, you know, it's really amazing to me that I'm starting to really feel it in the heart. In the heart. But I cannot, because when I know right now what one of my kids is going through, it would crush me normally. That would be, you know, and yet it doesn't, because I know this is perfect for him. Right now I'm saying that in the moment. I don't know what will be in the next moment. And I am also seeing that there's only now, always. We've never moved away. It's such a powerful mind. Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for the mic, and I had to just say, I love you all. How could I not? Oh, boy. Okay, here I go. I'll drop the mic. Wait a minute. How do you... Okay.
I love you too, Sharon, and how can you not love your Savior? That's what the reading was all about, was, you know, here you have been presented with a mirror. It's like, you know, you're getting ready to go out, and you don't have a mirror in your house. You have no idea what to look like. You put on your whatever you're going to wear. Maybe you put on makeup. I don't know. and you have no idea what you look like. You have no idea what you're showing to the world. But if you pick up a mirror and look at it, you can see what it is that you know. You can see your hair is out of place. You can see you have spinach in your teeth. You can see that you put on your lipstick crooked or whatever. Without that mirror, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know what it is that you're presenting to the world. And so look at your brother. Your brother is your mirror. He's here to show you exactly what it is that you think is happening. And Robbie always checks his lipstick. Regina, I see you have your hand up. I will give you the mic. Thank you.
Hi. The last few days, it's funny, I've been contemplating a Geico commercial. and it's a commercial that maybe many of you have seen. I saw it about 2 days ago, and it really struck me. In it, the Geico gecko is, I actually only saw the end of the commercial, so I don't even know what leads up to the end. But at the end of the commercial, the Geico gecko is looking out of a window, and what he sees is just incredibly lovely, and he says something like, oh, what a view, and then he says, like, I wonder if you can see Mount Rushmore from here, and then the camera zooms back, and what he's doing is he's looking out the eye of one of the presidents in Mount Rushmore, and so, of course, he can't see Mount Rushmore, and, you know, that really reminded me of the self. You know, people are often looking for God, they're looking for the self, they're looking for truth, and they claim they can't find it. And the reason is, of course, is because we're looking from it, just like the gecko was looking from Mount Rushmore, so he could not see Mount Rushmore. We're looking from it, and so we can't see it. Yet at the same time, the gecko was looking out on everything, and, you know, being awed by the beauty of everything. And that's what we are also doing when we look out at form, when we look out at our brothers and nature and everything else. In that way, we are seeing the self. It's not the direct self. It's a reflection of the self. But, yeah, it's that beauty. So we can't see the self because we're looking from it, but yet we can see the reflection of the self in everyone and everything. So I really love that commercial. And if you haven't seen it, you know, next time a Geico commercial comes on, pay attention. Maybe you'll get the chance to see it. It's a wonderful symbol. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Regina. And I bet I can find that on YouTube. I'm the queen of YouTube now. So I will look for that commercial because it sounds really, really cool. And thank you so much. But, yeah, you know, I can't see, you know, it's like I stand where you are. Now take one step toward yourself. How is it possible that you can take a step toward yourself? No, because you're here in where you are already. You can't be anywhere else. And I love that. I'm the queen of YouTube. All right. Well, I guess that will conclude our gathering for today. Thank you for everyone who joined with me today. Thank you for leaving this assembly with a maybe different version of what it is that we want to do when we see our brothers without making any kind of exceptions. And, you know, this week as you go through your days, just notice that every time that you feel your button being pushed, just stop and ask, who's got the button? button, who's got the button? I'm afraid that would be me. So thank you all very much, and I love you. Please stay for the next hour for some socializing, and I'm actually going to play a couple of songs, and hopefully they will actually play this time, so you won't have to hear my singing again. I love you guys, and well,